Hey, Kate, we're picking up on how to handle your emotions again, and we're going to start with Galatians 2:2. And in Galatians 2:2, it tells us, "Therefore, I do not treat God's gracious gift as something of minor importance and defeat its very purpose. I do not set aside and invalidate and frustrate and nullify the grace or unmerited favor of God." You know, at first, any time that we decide that we're going to change something in our life, it's a little hard, you know, because at first, yeah, we're used to doing it. It's a habit. It's part of our everyday living. And in order to stop doing it, we need a little more than what we got. You know, determination goes a long way, okay? But even when you're determined, the enemy can come in and he can attack you and keep you defeated so that you're not able to succeed. So what you need is you need a little bit of God in there. Okay, you need to have God in there so that he can keep you pumped up, so he can help you defeat the enemy. If you have the Word of God in you, then you know what to say, what the Word of God says, so that you can tell him, "Oh no, devil, I'm not believing you. You know, these are just weak lies in my ears because I know what the book says. I've read the story, I know what the finish is." Okay, and you're already defeated. And once we, you know, understand that, then it's easier for us to do that walk because we know that it's not just us doing it. You know, if it's just us doing it, it's really hard. But a lot of times we try to stop things on our own and we have a really hard time with it. And part of the reason is because in ourselves, we're unable. We don't have the strength. We don't have what it takes because we're not strong enough to do so. Now, as you walk with God and as you get stronger and stronger in his word and you learn what the word says and you're able to tell the devil what the word says and stand on that word and your faith builds and you get stronger in that word, then you can defeat the devil, but you still have the Holy Spirit helping you do that. Okay? You never get to a point where you think that you can do it all on your own, because about the time you do, you're going to find the rug out from under your feet and you're going to be flat on your face because you thought you were doing it on your own. And you can't. Every time I stand up to sing, I tell God, "Here's my voice, Lord, you use it. You make it sound good, because otherwise it's you that they're seeing. You know, and this is all you. So if you're not there, if you don't show up, if it doesn't sound right coming out, then, you know, I'm going to have to sit down and talk to you because this is all you and I'm putting it in your hands. You make it work." During the revival, when I didn't have a voice and I got up and sang anyhow. I couldn't talk, I could sing. Okay? That's the way it is. You know, you don't do it in and of yourself. You can be as determined as you want, but sometimes determination isn't enough. Sometimes we have to get to that point where we're crying out to God, "Help us." You know? And really, all the time we should be crying out to God, "Help us." When I say my prayers, my daily prayers and stuff, you know, one of the things I'm doing is asking God to help us to be more like him. Help us to understand his words more. You know, take those blinders off and those ear stops out so we actually know, hear, and see everything that he wants us to know, hear, and see. You know, so that we understand things the way he understands them. There's a lot of times I do not understand what God is doing. But that doesn't mean that I can walk in doubt, because if I walk in doubt, then I'm telling God that I don't believe him and I think I'm out here doing this all by myself. Therefore, I can't go on. And the reason I can't go on is because I'm not taking God with me. You have to have God in it. If God isn't in it and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to keep you from the temptations along the way, that's what's going to cause you to fall. You know, because when things get a little hard, there's always going to be someone there to tell you, "Oh, you don't have to do that. That's not necessary. You're okay." And you're not. But you hear these things and you believe these things because you want to, because right now you're slipping. You know, and at least if I can believe these things, then I don't feel so bad about myself. But, you know, the thing is it's okay to feel, you know, to be less than perfect. You should not feel guilty for it as long as you are sincerely trying, striving to be everything that you can be. We are going to make mistakes. Do not beat yourself up over your mistakes. Pull yourself up and go on. You know, so many times that's why people don't move forward, is because they're stuck where they fell. You know, you've heard the thing, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. It's really true in cases, okay? Especially in the Christian walk. People fall and they can't get up. They can't continue on with God because there's too many things pulling at them and telling them, oh, you'll be better off doing this. Oh, just one more time doing that. Oh, it's okay. You don't have to change your friends. You'll be okay around your old group. You know, and these are the things that cause us to falter and to walk away from God. And what we need to do is we need to, you know, if we have a hard time with it, then what we need to do is we need to ask God to help us through that. You know, he doesn't expect us to do everything on our own. He wants us to rely on him, to depend on him, to cry out to him, to talk to him, okay? Have a relationship with him. That's what he wants. He didn't create man so that man can just run around down here and do their own thing. He created man so he would have someone to communicate with, someone to interact with. And we act like he's not there half the time. You know, I'd be driving down the road and I'd be talking to God, hey, God, it's beautiful out today. Oh, man, that's one heck of a sunset you set up there for me or whatever. You know, I mean, you see the beautiful colors in the sky and stuff. I always comment on them to him. Because I just want to know, I appreciate the beauty that you stuck before my eyes. You know, and people take things for granted so often that they don't notice these things. They don't see all that God's given them. They miss things that God set in their way to brighten their day. You know, you can be having a really poor day, but God can send something along to make you happy, to pick you up, but only if you open your eyes long enough to see it. Okay? And sometimes we're so gathered in our gloom and doom that we can't see what God has stuck right in front of us. Where's the thing that you can't find, Shirley? Always right in front of your face, isn't it? I can look and look and look for something that I can't find, and when someone finds it for me, it's right there in front of my face, right where I've been, and I've looked, and I didn't see it. I often tell my son to go find something for me, get something for me, because I can't find it. Where'd you say it was at? And I go and say, it's right there. Right in front of your face. And that's the same way God is with us. He's right in front of our face. Every day, all the time. But we neglect to notice him. It's like he's invisible. Literally, to us. Okay? I mean, he isn't flesh and blood. We can't see him in that way. But he's there. We just have to recognize him. I have to tell you that the Lord's not going to do everything for you in your life, though. Okay? He expects you to put forth some effort. You know, it's like when you're helping somebody learn something, you expect them to put forth some effort. You expect them to do something to gain the knowledge that they're trying to gain or to gain the skill that they're trying to gain. You don't expect to have to do the whole project and then them go, wow, look what I did. No, you didn't do it. You watched me do it. You know, God wants us to get interactive with him and do things with him. But we can't as long as we're dwelling in our own feelings. We need to get past our own feelings and realize it's not all about us. There's so many more things out there in the world besides us. And God needs us to be looking at all that stuff, not at us. He'll take care of us if we leave ourselves in his hands and just let him do the work. But too many times we're caught up in us and we become selfish. And we can't see the other things that God wants us to see. And we can't have the things that we really want because we haven't learned to be content where we're at and just trust God. And like a child, blindly let him take us where he wants us to go. You know, when we take kids places, we grab their hand and we walk with them and they just blindly follow us. You know, they have no clue where we're going to end up with them. That's just the way they are. And that's the way we're supposed to be with God. We're supposed to trust him enough that we say, okay, God, here's my life. You do what you have to in my mess. I'm going to be about your work and be about his work. And he'll take care of you. But you have to get yourself off your emotions. You have to learn how to handle your emotions. As your emotions will say, well, what about you? Look what you need. Look what people need to do for you. And then you forget that you're supposed to be doing something for God. So we have to get our emotions under control because they'll try to tell us all kinds of things just to keep us from doing what God would have us do. You know, we can't always find somebody out there who's going to lay hands on us and pray for us either. And sometimes it's not always possible to walk up to someone and have a word of God from them. Okay? Or a significant answer to a question that you have. So, while you're having this interactive relationship with God, guess what? You're going to learn how to hear for yourself. You're going to learn how to pray for yourself. You're going to learn that praying for other people will help you get your own healing. You're going to find out when you take your eyes off of what's bothering you that he's taking care of you while you're out and doing what he's asking you to do. I want you to go lay hands on this person for healing. Well, Lord, I need a healing. Well, yeah, I know what you need. You just go do what I told you to do. I'll take care of what you need. But he wants us to do what he asks us to. And too many times, what are we doing? We're on our emotions. But Lord, what about me? They already got so much more than I do. Can't you just take care of me first? It's not what he wants. He wants us to put everything we have down and say, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Whatever happens, happens. Wherever it goes, I'm following you blindly like that child. I got my hand in your hand. Wherever you take me, I'm going. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. And when it's all done and said, I'm going to be safe with you. Okay? This is what we need to do. Our emotions keep us from finding that place. Our emotions keep us from feeling safe with God. Because we let our emotions manage us and control what we do. The thing is, our emotions mess with our will. Our emotions mess with the things that we would want to do. It messes with our minds. We know that we have to do such and such and such, but yet our emotions are telling us that, well, yeah, you do, but you don't have to do it right this second. You can go ahead and do this, this, and this first, and then do that. And by the time you get this, this, and this done, guess what? You don't have time to do that. But your emotions will talk you out of things that you know you should be doing. Or talk you into things that you know you shouldn't be doing. So you have to get that thing under control. And you have to, you know, this is your boat. You got the rudder. You get to make the direction, okay? You got all these things coming at you, waves slapping against the boat and everything else. The winds are blowing, the storms are raging, but guess what? You still got that rudder. You still get to determine which way you're going to go. And it's up to you to keep your emotions under control so that you can stay steady on that path that you're on. Because otherwise they're going to blow you all over the place. And you're going to have all kinds of fun trying to get out of it. So in Galatians 2:21, it says, the Apostle Paul says that he did not take the grace of God in vain. He meant that he did not expect God to do everything for him without doing his own part too. You know, when we take the grace of God in vain, that means that we think we deserve it. We think that we don't have to do anything. It just should be ours. And that's not the case. Yes, we can't earn his grace. We can't earn our salvation. We can't do any of those things in and of ourselves. But through the Holy Spirit, we can. Okay? Get to that place of grace. Get to that place where we find salvation. But we can't earn anything. There's no amount of money you can give to a charity that's going to buy your way to heaven. There's no amount of helping out the poor that's going to get you into heaven. What's going to get you into heaven is your own relationship with God. And the only way you're going to have a real relationship with God is to get your emotions under control, because your emotions are going to tell you that he's lying to you, that you have not seen him work in your own life, that you have not seen, but for who? For me. Everybody else gets it, Lord. What about me? You're coming. Your time's coming. You know, those other people, they had many years waiting for theirs. Their boat just came in. You're still waiting. It's okay. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes if we get things too easily, we don't appreciate them. Okay? And God gives his grace quite freely to his people that he loves. The problem is that we don't appreciate the grace that he gives us. And we take it for granted. And we just assume. And you know, I found that you can't assume anything in life. You just can't. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're taking everything that God has told us and taught us in vain. Because, you know, God expects us to do, to try to be the best that we can be. To try to do the things that he would have us do. Now, he knows we're not going to be perfect, but he does not mean for us to just sit down and say, well, I'm a sinner, I might as well be one. That's not trying to be the best you can be. That's not trying to mold yourself into a characteristic that is more like God, so that when people see you, they see the person that you believe in. You know? If you look at the Nazi Germans, those guys that followed Hitler and followed him closely was his inner cabinet. They believed the same things he did. They felt the same way he did. They acted just like him, didn't they? Satan's children. They act just like Satan, don't they? They look like Satan. They sound like Satan. So, okay, if you're God's child, who should you sound like? Who should you look like? You have no business looking like anything than what you are. And the only way you're going to get to that point is to take and get your emotions under control so they can't have you going all over the place. Because we're like a ball in a pinball machine, just being bounced all over the place. Spun in circles, down the hole, up through another hole. Don't know where we're coming out at. You know what I'm saying? And it's because we don't have our emotions under control and we're letting them take us there. So we have to do our part too. We have to choose the right actions. Someone says, hey, you want to go for a beer with the rest of us after work? Say, well, sorry, I quit doing that a long time ago. You know, I'm sorry, you're not going to be part of that clique. And if they enjoy you at work and not in the bar, then that's fine. But they know that you don't do that. And see, and this is a problem. People want to fit in. They want to look like everybody else. They want to act like everybody else. And it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about what God wants you to do. Once again, it's your emotions. You want to fit in. You want to look like. God says we're unique. The only thing we look like is little Jesus is running around. Should be. Okay? Unfortunately, that's not the case. And so, you know, that's where we're striving for. Now, the writer in the book of Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom, and with all that you've gotten, get understanding. So it's not enough to have wisdom if you don't understand the things that you hear. You can read all you want to read. You can listen to all the tapes that you want to listen to, set in all the services you want to set through. But if you have no understanding of the things you're hearing, means absolutely nothing. If you ever sat through a math class or a history class or a science class or a biology class and you didn't have a clue, you know what I'm talking about. You sat in them classes, you heard that information, but you still lost. Okay? And people sit in the house of God every day like that. They hear that word, they hear that word, they hear that word, they hear that word, and it takes forever for it to sink in and get past that exterior wall. And sometimes we have preached the same thing in this sanctuary over and over and over again, and somebody will come in here from a service that they went to somewhere else and they preach the exact same thing and they're all excited because of this new word that they got. It's like, really? Must took you that long for it to hit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not new. It's something that has been taught over and over again. But people hear and they do not understand. It does not go inside of them. It does not become part of who they are. So they have no understanding. It's very hard to be wise without understanding. So Proverbs, that was Proverbs 4:7. You know, you have to have things like discernment, comprehension, interpretation. You know where those things come from, guys? It comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that helps me with my discernment. He's the one that lets me know when I need to back off, when I need to go forward full steam ahead. He's the one that lets me know that I don't want to deal with that person. They're getting ready to do something wrong. You know what I'm saying? He's the one that gives me my discernment. He's the one that helps me interpret things that are being done and said around me. Because otherwise, I would jump to a lot of accusations about people that aren't true. Because after all, it's my perception. And things aren't always what they seem to be. Just because you see things a certain way doesn't mean that certain things are happening. Too many times we generalize people. You know, we look at this outer shell and we see this outer shell and we make decisions about them concerning what we see. And we can't really do that either because we don't know what's in the heart. And it's what's in the heart that God sees. He doesn't care what you look like on the outside. He wants to know what's in here. If it's pure in here, then he can use you. So we have to be able to see through the lies of Satan. And he constantly speaks them into our mind because he's trying to get us to quit coming to church, as he's trying to get us to quit affiliating with the place that we're being taught and trained and actually growing in. He's trying to keep us from associating with the people who are helping us. He's trying to keep us from dealing with the people who actually are going to benefit us along the way if we can just deal with some of the criticisms and the things that they're telling us as they're trying to train us and help us. You know, so many times I've heard people say, well, what right is it do they have to tell me that? Well, if you were seeking help and they were there to help you and you asked for it, then honesty is always the best way to go. Now, what you need to do is you need to get a little harder, buck up a little bit, and accept the fact that what they're telling you is the truth and fix it. It's not a problem that you have the problem. It's a problem if you refuse to say that you have the problem and get something done about it. You know, it's, you see it all the time every day in bad relationships. People stay in abusive relationships all the time. Why do they do it? All they have to do is reach a point where they say, I'm done with this, and be done with it. But they think, oh, I just can't live without him. Oh, how am I going to survive? Well, you know, the kids, they need their other parents. And we go through all these things, lies of the enemy, to keep us from breaking that chain that's keeping us bound. And he keeps us right there where he wants us. And he keeps badgering us and tormenting us because we don't have enough strength to stand on our own two feet and get out. And he does the same thing in our Christian walk with us. He badgers us. He keeps us tied to the world so that we can't make that clean escape and get out. And the only way you're going to get out is to spend time in the Word, spend time interacting with God, not acting like he's something up there in the sky that's just there and you don't have to talk to him or anything else because he is your Father and you talk to your Father. I don't know about any of you guys, but I'd been in bad shape if I didn't say a couple words to my dad while I grew up. Okay? Me and Dad spent time talking. Me and Mom spent time talking. You know, that's where we need to go to get information. So you need to interact with your Father. You need to act like he's real. Okay? Like he exists. Like he's somebody. Too many times we want to put him up on the shelf and say that's something I do on Sundays. Well, he's not something for just Sundays. You don't take your boyfriend with you just on Sundays. Your boyfriend's your boyfriend every day of the week. Your Father should be your Father every day of the week. The enemy, he likes to help us feel good about doing what we want to do. So he's always going to speak lies to us that will make us think we're all right where we're at. And we're not. And that's because we're letting our emotions stay in control. You know, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to face up to things. We don't want to have to confront somebody with something. We don't want to have to tell somebody that we can't see them no more. We don't want to have to quit hanging out at that place we hung out at. Because after all, that's where all my friends are. And I like it there. No, the enemy in you likes it there, and he wants to keep you there. You need to understand that there's things that you need to break away from. And your emotions are going to try to keep you tied in so you can't find it and escape. It's up to us to let God have control so that we can get out. God always has a way to escape. We need to find it. We need to look for it. And it's right in front of our faces, Alan. Right in front of our faces. And yet we fail to open that door and walk through all the time. So, you know, whenever emotion rises up in you, test it, see if it lines up with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God, then go with your feelings. But if you test it and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then guess what? It's a lie of the enemy. And it's trying to keep you from doing something that you should be doing or doing something that you shouldn't be doing. It's trying to lead you astray. So test it out. You can resist it if you let the Holy Spirit help you. Okay? You can resist it if you let the Holy Spirit with you. But I got to tell you something. You have to know that you know that you know in here that it's what you want. Because otherwise, you're going to run with your emotions every time. You have to be determined that you don't want to be this bound person no more. You don't want to be this person that's living out of hurt and anger. Whatever it is that's keeping you bound, you don't want it no more. You want free of it. And once you make that decision and you stand on it, the Holy Spirit will take you the rest of the way. But you have to mean that with everything inside of you. It can't just be lip service. You could say it all day long, but if you don't mean it in here, it ain't going to happen for you. Because God knows it's lip service. He knows you're just testing the water to see what happens. Okay? But really, if he did it for you, you'd go right back out and do the same thing over again because you're not ready. And God loves you too much to free you up at that point in time, because if you go back out and get all bound up in it again, you're going to be worse than what you were to start with. Why does it take some of us so long to get free to the things we have inside of us? Because we're not ready to get rid of them yet. We like carrying that baggage around. We like telling people all the woe be me's. You just don't know what kind of life I live. If you lived the life I did, you'd understand why I'm the way I am. I just can't help it. Poor me. That's what we want. We can't live like that. That will defeat you all the time. God expects us to pull up our boots, get ourselves all together, and go out there and face that enemy. And you can face him just like you are. You don't need armor on, physical armor. You put on the armor of God, you go out there and face him. And every time you'll be victorious. David didn't use Saul's armor. He went out there in the Spirit of God. God was with him. He didn't need somebody's armor. It was too big and clunky. Couldn't move in it. Didn't work right for him. He had to do it God's way. Because then people knew that they knew that they knew that it was God. If he had had on the armor and everything, and stuff, he might not have been successful. But see, that would have shown doubt. He said, I never had any of that stuff when I fought the lions and the bears. I don't need it now either. This is just another lion or a bear. I'm going to kill it. It's hurting God's sheep. And he did. It was because he knew that's what he was going to do. Too many times when we step out of the boat, we sink because we really don't think we can do it. You have to understand it's not you doing it. It's God doing it. You step out of the boat, he'll keep you on that water. You start thinking it's you keeping you on the water, you start sinking. Okay? Happens every time. And that's metaphoric. That's, not literal. But I don't care what you're trying to do. When you step out to do it, if you think you're the one doing it, you're going to sink. You have to step out there and say, okay, God, I'm going. You better be here with me because I can't do it unless you're here with me, God. I need you here right by my side. I want to feel you the whole time because that's the only way I'm going to be successful, because I know it's you doing this, not me. That's the mentality that we have to get to. We have to talk to him like that. We have to talk to him like he's our friend. Not like he's some stranger. And most of the time, that's where we're at with God. And it's because we let our emotions tell us that he can't do the things that we need him to do. We say, it takes too long. It takes too long for a reason. It's just like that little eaglet picking his way out of that shell. He has to have the struggle to make him strong. We don't have the struggle to make us strong, and then we get our freedom, and we're going to fail, and we're going to become defeated because we don't have the strength to live now that we've broken through the shell. So understand this, guys. Tell your emotions. That's okay. God's got it in the bucket. Don't worry about it. God's taking care of that. And tell Satan, take a back seat, because you know that God's going to do the things that he said he would do. And that's just your emotions talking. That's just going, hey, look, look what they're getting. What about me, God? Yeah, it happens all the time when young kids, when they're growing up, and they're getting cars and getting married and having kids and stuff. Everybody else is doing it. What about me, God? I want a boyfriend. I want to get married. I want to have a home. And we start doubting God. It's not your time. When it's your time, it will be there. That's what we have to understand. It's our emotions that won't let us believe that and understand that. Because we're selfish. At the core, we're selfish. And we want what we want, and we want it now. We don't want to wait. Most people think that's a baby thing. No, it's not. We never grow out of that stage. We have to whip that thing into our control. It's our flesh. It's with us all the time, and we got to keep it under wraps all the time. And it's your emotions. And if we let our emotions get the better of us, we're going to do all kinds of dumb things in our life. All the things that I've done that have been really stupid were done under emotions. I can literally look back and say, it was because of where I was emotionally that I got there. So, are we going to get our emotions together? Are we going to start thinking about them differently? Because our emotions are a pain. We have to have them. We really need to have them. But in the same sense, they have the pros and the cons. And you have to be able to balance the two so that they don't take you under. Okay? They're there to help you do God's work, not to take you under. You have to use them for the right purpose. And if you use them correctly, everything will be fine. But that means tucking your selfishness away. Because your selfishness is really the biggest thing that motivates your emotions. That makes you say the things that you do, or say and do the things you do, because of your emotions. So take a deep breath. Step back, think about it, and then step out knowing that you have your emotions under control. Amen. Sister Catherine, can you close us in prayer this morning?